Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. CPA Trendlines presents an episode of The Disruptors.
Welcome to Accounting Disruptor Conversation. I'm your host, Liz Farr from CPA Trendlines. My guest today is Ryan Lozanis, founder of Future Firm. How are you today, Ryan?
Hey, Liz, how's it going? Doing great. Thank you very much for having me today.
Well, I'm glad to have you. I'm really glad to have people from around the world. How are things today up in Montreal?
So starting to get a little bit chilly out. We just went through some record-breaking temperatures on the good end of things. So we're quite happy about that. But I think we're past the point of no return now where we're heading into the winter and it gets brutally cold here. So starting to get a bit chilly.
Well, I don't envy you the cold at all. Not one bit.
It can get tough here. That's why. So my wife is Indonesian and we have plans to go there for the winter. So that's what's in the cards coming up this winter.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, we've got a lot to cover, so we better just dive right in. Now, accounting talent in the U.S. and around the world has been scarce for years. COVID made it worse. What are some things that you've seen for how firms can make things better?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a number of things. I think it's probably one of the biggest challenges right now is actually finding good people. And not only finding them, but keeping those people. So I think the one thing that most people are looking for in like a post-COVID world is lots of flexibility. You know, people are used to working from home and people are used to added flexibility. And we have to continue to give that kind of flexibility. So the more flexibility we can offer and promote and give to our team, I think the better. I think one thing that we can do, however, to start attracting higher quality candidates a little bit more easily. You know, I often see, so I've been coaching as part of Future Firm. I've been coaching firms over the last few years, and I run a program called Future Firm Accelerate, which now coaches over 600 firms inside the platform since we launched it a year ago. And there's one thing that I've seen work quite well. And what we need to do a little bit better is we need to sell ourselves better. And when I see a lot of people having trouble or really struggling to attract people onto their team, one of the first things I'll ask them to see is their job posting. And that's really the starting point for where someone's going to learn about you and your firm for the most part. And, you know, it's an employee's world right now. They have their pick of the litter. And, you know, when they're going through, you know, there are dozens of job postings on a daily basis to find, you know, their next spot, you know, they're going to go for the one that excites them the most. And quite frankly, most of the job posts that you see out there are just very bland, boring, and generic. So no one really just wants to sit in a corner doing tax returns all day. They want to be something, part of something bigger. They want to be some part of something that has a purpose, that has a mission, that has a vision, something, you know, where they'll be part of a team with a shared set of values, where they're going to gel well together with those people. So the key here is if we want to attract better people and we want to give ourselves a better and easier, an easier chance to land these people, we need to sell ourselves. We need to treat the recruitment process like a sales process. And we need to sell our firm, sell the candidate on the reasons why they should join the firm, sell the candidate on the purpose, mission, and vision of the firm. So we really need to treat the sales the recruitment process as a sales process, which starts with your job posting, making it an exciting posting, and then bring them into that process. And every step of the way, just treating it as a sales process to essentially, quote unquote, close the deal. So and I've seen this work very, very well. I've seen, you know, members of our program, even for myself, hiring our own team members, you know, we just really try to make it as exciting as possible to apply to the company. So that's what I would do differently. And I think I think the easiest thing that most firms could do right out the gate is just sell themselves better.
You just said one of the dirty words for most accountants, Ryan, which is selling.
Yeah.
They don't want it. They don't want to do that.
Listen, I'm a CPA and I know I wouldn't consider myself a salesman. I'm highly introverted and I like to be behind the scenes and I'd rather not, you know, I know full well what a lot of accountants and owners and firm leaders and partners, how they feel about the word sell or the word sales. But at the end of the day, whether you like it or not, that's what it is. You know, we have to persuade people to join the company, just like we have to persuade clients to join the firm. And at the end of the day, that's what sales is. And people don't love the word, but it's the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and listening to you, one thing that strikes me is that the prerequisite for attracting somebody is that you've got to have something, a firm that is worthy of attracting good candidates. You've got to have a good culture. You've got to actually have values that the firm practices. So, you know, how do you start building that and creating that?
That's a good question. And, you know, coming up with the values is not like something you could just do in like an hour, and it takes a little bit of time. And, you know, there's successes and failures that you might have to go through to find those values. But I think at the end of the day, every firm could offer something unique. Every firm is unique. Every firm has something to offer. So values aside, there's probably some perks or some benefits or something of interest in your firm already that you can offer to candidates that you're probably not already putting out there in your job posting. You know, so you have to find out what those are. Maybe it's, you know, even like very small firms, maybe it's the mentorship that you'd get from, you know, one of the partners, or some certain skills that you'd be able to like upskill yourself with. You know, maybe there's certain type of expertise that the firm has that most other firms have that candidates might be able to learn from or grow from. You know, how do we promote the flexibility that we give at our firm? You know, what other perks can we provide? You know, every firm has something unique. Every firm has something to offer. But when you look at 99% of the job postings out there, all it says is, you know, we're a full service firm that focuses on creating value and helping small businesses. And we're looking for an accountant to do tax returns and reconciliations and, you know, audits or whatever it is. So, you know, you're saying the same thing as everyone and you're not giving the candidate a reason to join you. So you have to at least give some reasons. And coming up with the values, it takes time. It took me a while to put them in place. I had to scratch my head for quite a while to figure out what those were. And I had to bring on the wrong people to the team to figure out, okay, I need the opposite of that on my team. So I need like the opposite values that they had. So it takes time to figure out some of these things, but other things we could probably come up with relatively quickly.
And I really love what you say about every firm having something unique to offer, because I think that is true. You know, even if it does look like a very traditional, very solid CPA firm, there is something there that no other firm has. Maybe it's the client mix. Maybe it's a beautiful office space if you ever want to go into the office.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, you get to be mentored by somebody that everybody in the business community knows.
Yep.
It's something. There is something there.
There's at least one thing that you can offer. So let's put that forward. But that's what it comes down to, is we need to persuade candidates. And it starts with your job posting.
Yep. Yeah, until recently, the business model for accounting firms really hadn't changed much for many, many years. But we're seeing firms today move away from the billable hour and away from the very strict hierarchical org charts. What are some things that you are seeing in the firms you work with?
I think there's one thing that I'm seeing a lot of, or a lot more of, and then something which I think is a trending area, which I'm personally very excited about, which still is like really bubbling below the surface. So I think the first thing is when you talk about the org charts and, you know, what I coach students of my program on is most of them don't want to be doing client work, yet they're the bottleneck for pretty much everything in their firm, especially the client work. So we need to extract yourself from that. And in order to do that, we need to have the right org chart in place. We have the right, firm structure in place. And what I recommend installing is some kind of COO, some kind of operations lead, which is going to be the buffer between you as the CEO and the machine. The machine is what's outputting all the work and dealing with all the clients. And that's kind of how I had modeled my firm when I had my firm is, there was the CEO, which was me on top. There was a COO below that. And then below that is the machine. And I wasn't dealing with the day-to-day. I wasn't dealing with the processes. I wasn't dealing with, you know, quality control or client-related matters, except for like a few fringe cases. And I think like those are the structures that we're seeing a lot of success with today that are leading to better lifestyles for the firm owner and partner. And that's eliminating a lot of the bottlenecks. So treating a firm not like a practice that has their partners that are in silos, but more like a corporation that has a CEO, a COO, you know, heads of departments, et cetera. So that's where we're seeing a lot of success with like the structure of firms today. On the other end of the spectrum, if you could just remind me of the first part of that question again, Liz.
We're moving away from the billable hour.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So the other interesting type business models that I think are like starting to become more and more popular with a lot of like forward-thinking firms is like the billable hour and value pricing and those types of billing models are like, they've been around forever. I mean, the billable hour has been around forever. And then value pricing and subscription pricing has become more popular over the years. And that's certainly the methodologies that I advocate for. But it's still a one-to-one relationship with the client. So I am delivering expertise on a one-to-one basis to the client. What I'm more excited about is how can we deliver more of a one-to-many type approach? So how can we leverage our expertise better? And we're seeing a lot of like really cool accountants, really cool firms launch like online courses that or membership models at a fraction of the price that you would maybe charge but in a more of a leverage setting. So let me explain what I mean. $50 a month, you'll get a group call with other members or other clients or customers in that kind of plan, a group call with the CPA at the firm to ask whatever questions you want. You'll get access to training resources, perhaps to do your own bookkeeping. So the firm no longer has to do the bookkeeping for a few hundred dollars a month. You know, some are pricing really, really low just to get the client for a few hundred dollars a month, not a great margin. So instead of doing that, $100 a month, $150 a month, you give them training resources. They could do their own bookkeeping. You give them a group call once a month. So when they're stuck, they can ask questions in a group setting. You could have a community type component attached to this. There's tons of apps out there that allow people to join and create these community settings where people can kind of troubleshoot issues amongst themselves. So we're seeing these types of models becoming more and more popular. This is actually the model that I have for my Future Firm Accelerate program, but we're seeing a lot of these types of models pop up for firms these days, whether it comes to tax, advisory, bookkeeping. We're teaching clients how to do some of it themselves. We're pairing that with some kind of leverage support, some kind of group call. We're creating a very high profit margin offering, which I think is very appealing for a lot of firms.
I really like that that membership model, you know, and I have seen quite a few people starting to do that. I think the first one I saw do that was Steph Hines in Australia. Mm-hmm. And she had a couple of different levels that depended on the client's business expertise and familiarity. That's cool. So there was kind of a beginning level for people who were just starting a new business, and then it went up. And so you would be with a group of peers who were in that same position, and you could graduate, you could move up in different levels. So I liked that.
I've heard of Steph Hines. I forget the firm. But yeah, I've heard of that firm for, I didn't know they had a program like that, but there's a lot of ways to split it. But if you can pair some kind of self-paced training or courses or videos or content with some kind of like group support, that's the ultimate combination. Because we can get all that knowledge out of your head that you're delivering on a one-to-one basis to your clients. We could put that into a form of content. And when people have questions, they'll be able to tap into your brain or someone's brain at your firm like once a month or once a quarter on a group call. I love that kind of model, and it's infinitely more scalable than the traditional billable hour or value pricing or subscription pricing model.
Yeah. The book, The Future of the Professions, talks about that with accounting firms and with all kinds of knowledge workers, that it's really the democratizing of expertise instead of professional services being one-to-one and highly customized. You find ways to make them more available to the masses so that more people can have the benefit of that expertise. You know, it's something that is, it's no longer such a financial barrier.
Future of the Professions? Yeah. How old is that book?
It's a few years old.
I think I have it, but I don't think I read it. So maybe I'll have to check it out again.
It's pretty interesting. I read it a couple of years ago. I think they have a new book out, but I haven't read that one yet. But it talks about the different professions, not just accounting, but legal services, medical services, clergy, education, all the professions, and how the internet and online applications are making it possible for more people to access information and expertise that before there was no way they could get to.
And that's exactly what I'm suggesting, is we can offer this at a different price point that you would not normally be able to accept those kind of clients on that price point. But with the internet and these new tools that we have available, it's easier than ever to create that more democratized service. So I think I totally agree with that.
I think so too. Now, what about growing? Do firms really even need to grow?
I think it comes down to what their objectives and goals are. I think a lot, and certainly this was the case with myself when I started my firm as well, about 10 years ago, where, you know, I was employed somewhere and I was not happy where I was employed, and I figured I could just have a better life if I started my own business. So I just started, and I just started, you know, the first thing you do is I just need to get clients. And then you get clients and you're like, okay, I need to start hiring people. And then you get into this cycle of like, you're not even thinking about like what's at the end of it all. And I think that's what we need to, like, firms need to grow if, you know, there's certain objectives, concrete objectives that they have in mind, because your business is there to serve your lifestyle. We often lose sight of that. So we need to think about, what do I want in life? What's going to make me happy? And how is my business going to help me get there? So I think we in some instances, we do need to grow to get to where we want to go in life.
Right. But
we often lose track of that. We often don't have in mind what our end goal is. And we don't have concrete. Yeah, we often don't have those concrete goals in mind. We just start a business. We just start accepting clients and we start hiring people and it just snowballs into something that maybe we didn't want in the first place. So I think it really helps to think, start with the end, start in the end in mind first, and then work backwards to arrive at what we should be doing next and how big we want to get to and that kind of thing. I also think like some people don't want to grow because they see that it might add complications to their life. A lot of firms are able to grow, but to the detriment of someone's perhaps someone's work-life balance. They might see more stress, more anxiety as a result of that growth. I think that has to do with like the business model itself. Running an accounting firm could be a very stressful business. Mm-hmm. What I want to help people with is I don't want to help them grow. I want to help them scale. And growth is really about, you know, we could add to the top line, but usually when we're adding to the top line, it's to the detriment of, you know, our personal life, our work-life balance. And it means, yes, we're adding more revenue, we're adding more clients, but us adding more work for ourselves. So we're adding to the top line, but we're driving ourselves into the ground. I want to help firm owners create a business model that can scale, where we can add to the top line, but in a more reasonable fashion, where we're not adding to our existing workload. So that's what I'm more interested in, is the differentiation between growth and scale. So to answer your question, I kind of went in a few directions. I think not everyone needs to grow. I think it comes down to figuring out where you want to be in life. And then figuring out a model that can scale rather than grow.
And yeah, I'm curious what you mean by scaling. You know, how do you go about creating a firm that scales? Does that mean bringing in the people in concert with the clients? Or what does that mean?
It means I have a podcast episode called The 6-Part Formula to Scale an Accounting Firm. And I think to scale a business, we have to focus on standardization of the business, systematization of the business. And there's a couple components involved to actually scaling a firm. I think if you are standardizing your service offers, if you're standardizing the type of client you're working with, if you have a marketing engine that's allowing you to bring leads in a little bit more passively, if you have the right people in place and the right structure in your firm, if you have some of these elements in place, we're going to have a much easier time adding revenues and not subsequently adding to our workload. So we're creating more of a machine. We're creating more of a standardized machine, whereas most firms are the exact opposite. So they can pull in clients, but it's going to just add to the chaos. So it's gonna grow the top line, but in a more chaotic fashion, where they're working more hours, dealing with more and more stressful, busy seasons, sacrificing their personal life and their work-life balance. So I want to create a model that just operates more smoothly, more systematically. And if we can do that, we can scale the business rather than simply grow it.
Sounds like what you're talking about would be really suited to a firm that has developed a specific industry niche or expertise. Is that right?
Could be part of it, but I don't think you have to be super narrow in who you deal with. I think we just have to be a little bit more picky on who you bring on as a client. I think it could be very powerful if you just focus like from a scaling standpoint, from like standardization of the business model. I think it could be very powerful to have like one very narrow niche, but you don't necessarily need to have that. You know, when I was running my firm, I knew the kind of clients that we wanted and the kind of clients we didn't want. So as an example, like we were one of the first online firms when we launched, we were one of the earlier online firms when I launched around 10 years ago. And we started attracting like you know, tech startups and e-commerce companies and more online service-based businesses. And like, that was our sweet spot. We knew how to get them in the door quickly. We knew the right solutions for them. We can onboard them quickly. We can get them into the routine service delivery processes quickly. Like, everything was like a machine. But we didn't want to accept like manufacturing businesses. We didn't want to accept like, you know, heavy inventory based businesses, because we just couldn't get them into the machine quickly enough. We made those mistakes early on where we got some great businesses, got some great clients, but if it took us 4 or 5 months to properly onboard them, then it's just not possible to create a scalable model. So we're increasing revenues, but we were decreasing, let's say, efficiency. So I wouldn't say like my firm was like ultra narrow in the niche, but we had a focus, we had a sweet spot, and we stayed true to that sweet spot.
Okay, well, that's good advice, and that would have made my life in public accounting a lot more pleasant, I think, rather than jumping from a salsa manufacturing company to a law firm to a doctor to an HVAC company. You know, it was just a little bit crazy.
I guess it's hard to just understand, you know, the processes for each one of those businesses quickly. Like, you could figure it out. Any of us could figure out. It's just a question of time. So that's the big part about standardizing a business and standardizing all as many elements as possible in your business model, is it just makes everything much, much more quicker.
Yes, that is very true. Now, it used to be that to be a good accountant, we had to keep the tax regulations in our head. We had to keep the FASB and all of GAAP in our heads. And we had to be really good with a 10 key too. That was really important. But technology has changed that. What skills do accountants need today to be successful?
I mean, I don't think the technical knowledge is as important anymore. Certainly not. I think creativity, an entrepreneurial mindset, being able to quickly adapt to technology. I think like these are, you know, the soft skill side of things are certainly a lot more important these days. Mm-hmm. I know those types of skills treated me well. I'm a terrible accountant, actually. So I think like, yeah, I mean, I'm happy with the skills that I think I've innately had. And even though I struggled through accounting and working at accounting firms and it just never clicked for me, I'm actually happy that looking back on it, that stuff didn't come naturally to me. But I think like the creativity aspect, problem solving abilities, you know, ability to adapt to technology and use technology, I think these are the skills, you know, like I said, more of an entrepreneurial mindset. I think these are the skills that a lot of firms are looking for and that a lot of clients are looking for these days in their accountants.
I think that's really true. And when I think back at my time in public accounting, you know, it was really an assembly line and we had a lot of pressure just to get the work out. So it was really a challenge to even have the bandwidth or the mental energy to even be creative. And so I think that the firms today that are trying to have a more reasonable work balance, we're not even looking at work-life balance, but just a more reasonable work regimen, those are the ones that will attract the really bright people who can do that kind of work.
Yeah. And if we have everyone at max capacity all the time, or even above max capacity, all those skills that we might be looking for, they're not going to be utilized, because it's hard to kind of switch your brain from production work to some more creative type work. So, I think that's a challenge for firms these days as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, as I've discovered being a writer, you have to have a certain amount of rest and rejuvenation just to be able to be creative. It's a really different part of your brain than you use when you're just keying in numbers mindlessly. Oh, okay, here's interest, that goes over here. Dividends, that goes over here. Capital gains, that goes here. You know, it's a really different mindset. And I think we really need to be cognizant of the need to give people the room and the energy to be creative.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes, I completely, yeah, it's tough. Now, we've talked about things that accountants should do. What are some things that accountants should stop doing immediately?
That's a good question. I think I don't know if they should stop doing immediately, but I think they should maybe heavily consider not following the typical path. And the typical path that we've seen is, studying for your CPA or studying for your accounting degree in a firm, and then leaving that firm and then going into industry, and then maybe staying in industry. Maybe you start a firm and then you fall into the typical cycle that most firm owners do, and they just start overworking themselves. Like, that's not a path that's necessarily served most people very well. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different directions that we can go in. There's a lot of different paths that you can take. There's a lot of skills that you gain from going through the CPA profession and CPA training. Mm-hmm. That we can utilize in a variety of different areas. So we don't have to follow that path. We can kind of break out of the box. And I think not following the traditional path is one thing that I would maybe urge a lot of people to heavily consider.
I agree with you there. You know, I've been following on tax Twitter, there's a young CPA who was a rising star in his firm, and the owner wanted him to buy him out at some point, but he is realizing that that's not the path that he wants. He's talking about all the different opportunities that are coming to him. You know, being a controller for an arts group, or being CEO or CFO of a startup. And I think that that's really encouraging to see that being a CPA does not mean you have only this narrow range of job possibilities. There's a huge, huge world out there that we don't even know about.
I mean, you're proof more than anyone, I'd say, Liz.
Well, you know, I there aren't very many CPAs who write books, so you are correct there. Now, what keeps accountants from changing? What blocks them from changing?
It's just the way we've been trained. We've been trained to be skeptical. We've been trained to question everything. And that teaches us to be conservative in nature. And that goes against change. That goes against innovation. So we've been trained to be like this. It's why the accounting profession has lagged so many other industries in its evolution. Mm-hmm. It's only natural. And if I think it's a good skill to be skeptical and to question mm-hmm. things. But I think, how do we balance that out? I don't have the solution, but like that's one of the reasons why we just haven't evolved very much.
That's very true. Yeah. And what are some things that accountants can do to make themselves a little more open? Do you have any ideas? I'm sure you do.
What can we do? That's a very good question. I'm not sure what the answer is there. What could we do? What I think has helped me is what I think has helped me quite a bit is travel and getting different perspective on life. And I think that's helped me open up my mind. I think more than anything, like I've been very fortunate to be able to travel all over the world and see all kinds of different cultures. And I think that's been really helpful for me, at least, to give me perspective and again, open up my mind. Mm-hmm. Is that the only thing? Probably not, but I think that's been helpful for me at least.
I think that's a good idea. And, you know, even if you don't travel, it's fascinating to see what accountants around the world are doing.
That's a good one. A lot of what I learned actually in the early days when I was launching, you know, an online firm 10 years ago, when no one was really doing it, at least in North America, you know, I was forced to kind of look outside the borders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I landed on Australia that had the first few online accounting firms and made connections with people there and was able to see how they were running their business, which was a lot different than most firms were doing it here and still are. And I actually had a LinkedIn post about this maybe about a month or two, which was just echoing your comments, Liz, which, you know, one of the things I love most about my Future Firm Accelerator program is that it's a global program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's firms in there from Singapore, from New Zealand, from Canada, the US, South America, all across Europe, the Middle East, Africa. And they all get together and kind of share how things work in the different parts of the world and how they might do things differently. So yeah, even if you don't travel to all these different destinations, I think, you know, being part of online communities, being part of online communities that aren't necessarily located in your like immediate vicinity or in your country, like being part of these global communities doesn't even necessarily need to be accounting communities, but like could be business communities, and just see how people do things differently. So I think that actually, I think that's a good point, Liz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I first got started as a writer, one of my first clients was Biz Inc.
Yeah.
And they hired me to write website copy for firms in New Zealand, Australia, Canada, and the US. And so to do that, I had to look at the websites of firms around the world and figure out, well, what are the words that they use to describe what they do? What is it that they do? You know, and how is that different from what we do here? It was really fascinating. I really learned a lot. And that was how I learned about a lot of really forward-thinking firms. You know, I would have a new client, a firm in Vancouver. And so I would just Google accounting firms in Vancouver and just get an idea of what it was like. And well, let me also figure out, well, what is the climate like there? What is the weather like?
Yeah.
What is the landscape? What is it like to live in Vancouver compared to where I live? Mm-hmm. What are the kinds of things that somebody in Vancouver would be looking for in an accounting firm? And so that was very fascinating.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Now, client accounting services, client advisory services, client accounting and advisory services, whatever you want to call it, that's a big thing right now. What do you think will be the next big thing in accounting, Ryan?
I wish I had.
You already kind of mentioned it with the membership groups.
I think that's the next big thing. I mean, it's a much different model. I mean, it's more like an e-commerce model than anything else. So it's a different kind of firm that's going to run that. Maybe a firm that's a little bit more marketing savvy is going to opt for that kind of approach. But we're seeing, the online course model, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a membership where they subscribe for 100 or 150 bucks a month, but it could be like an online course model where, you're teaching someone how to maybe, tax saving foundation course or something like that for a couple grand. Or I'm seeing a lot of this stuff take place right now. CAS was the hot and still is the hot service line. If there are going to be other hot service lines that come out, I can't really say. I think like these are just service lines that have already existed and that are just becoming more popular. So it's not something entirely new. I'm not too sure. I think that the new thing on the block right now is the membership model or the online course model geared towards a certain kind of firm. And I'm seeing a lot of appetite for that among the more modern firms, but it's not going to suit everybody.
No, it's not going to suit everyone. It will really be best for people who really want to help teach, who have that as their prime reason for being in business. It won't be for the ones who want to guard and protect their knowledge and their skills.
That's true. And some people like doing some people really enjoy like the advisory work and like tailoring the solution specific to an individual client. Like some people really enjoy doing that. Whereas some would just looking for something that's a little bit more scalable, and they would maybe find the online course model or the membership model a little bit more appealing.
I think it's to each their own. And I think that there are certainly enough avenues out there that people can find their own way forward.
The other thing that I think that I think we could talk about actually is technology consulting. And I think there's a number of firms right now that are, hiring developers on the team to build out like more custom workflow automations for their clients. So, when cloud accounting hit, we had Xero and QuickBooks Online, and they have these app ecosystems, and you would connect, these third-party apps to your accounting software, and you'd become an expert in the app ecosystem and be able to recommend, certain apps to optimize workflows for your client to make the accounting more automated. But now it's being taken up, and we're taking things up a notch where to have a competitive advantage now, we have to create custom workflow automations for clients. So when there's apps that don't exist and we want to fill in the gaps, we create our own apps. We create our own custom automations. We have developers on our team that do that, and we can charge good money for that right now. So you're seeing some firms build up these departments for no code departments to help automate things for their clients that most other firms can't do.
I think that is really going to be something that will be bigger in the future. I really do. And I think that the accounting curriculum is going to have to work hard to catch up with that.
Definitely. And I'm not sure exactly how it's playing out in the US, but I could say here in Canada, we're very far behind. I think in the US, the AICPA has introduced some kind of technology skill training of some sort for CPAs. I'm not sure how that's progressing at the moment.
Not as rapidly as it needs to be. I'd say we're still far behind. But rather than go into how far behind we are, I think we should probably just end there and remember that for what you've said, that for every kind of firm, there is something unique about them that they can capitalize on. And I think that that's a really good thing for firm owners and members of firms to keep in mind. There is something unique about what you are doing.
I like that point. Well, we can end on that one.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Ryan, for taking the time to talk to me. Now, if listeners want to connect with you, where's the best place to find you?
The best place is my newsletter. I have a newsletter that goes out every week. It's a free newsletter. I give tips and tricks. Liz is giving the thumbs up, so definitely go grab it. If you go to futurefirm.co/newsletter, it has over 7,500 readers globally on it. These are like firm leaders, owners, partners, people that want to create a more systematic, scalable firm that improves people's lifestyle. I give out free tips, tricks, and content. So head over to futurefirm.co/newsletter.
Thank you so much, Ryan. And yes, that newsletter is great. And it's also a really quick read. So don't worry about it.
Thanks All a right. lot, Liz. I really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Ryan. Sure.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.